Hi, this is John with Barefoot is Legal. Sierra will be joining us just in a moment here, and then we'll get started. So I'm going to just put on another ad for just one moment.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show. Beginning at 9 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk. With the dog, only on Freedomizer Radio.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Hello, and welcome to Barefoot is Legal. I'm host John with Sierra.
Hello.
Are you there?
Yep.
Hello, how are you doing this week?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. So what's new in your world? I've seen it looks like you're getting ready for a cosplay, or did I see that correctly?
Yes. So Salt Lake Comic Con is in 2 weeks. Well, the cosplay contest is in 2 weeks, but it starts the 24th, I think. Anyways, it starts Thursday after next. And go, yeah, 24th to the 26th. And, yeah, I'm going to be entering a cosplay contest as Rapunzel from Tangled. You know, barefoot character. Got to do it, right? So, yeah, that's exciting. The preliminary judging starts next Saturday. So I won't be here. And I also won't be here on the 26th. Because I'm totally going to make it to the final round and win, right? So
exactly.
John's going to be kind of taking the reins for the next 2 weeks. And we may be getting a new host to replace me in the near future. I love this show, but I need to take a leave of absence, maybe kind of long term. So there may be a new host in the near future. If you're interested in hosting the show, please email me, sierra@barefootislegal.org, so we can get you in as a guest and see how you like it. And yeah.
That's good. And I also hear that even though they strongly recommend it, they're allowing you to be barefoot. It's right in their rules that they're not requiring shoes.
Yeah, Salt Lake Comic Con has, cosplay rules regarding what you're allowed to wear for your costumes. Things like body paint, they wouldn't consider letting in. but, yeah, they have rules. So in their cosplay rules and policy, which you'll find if you go to their homepage, saltlakecomiccon.com, hover over features, then cosplay, and then go over to the cosplay rules and policy on the drop-down. So rule number 3, protective footwear is highly recommended but not required. So, yeah, I'm excited about that.
And I think a lot of Comic Cons that I've seen, you usually see at least some people that are barefoot.
Well, there's just so many barefoot characters. I mean, in recent movies, you've got Wreck-It Ralph, you've got the Navi from Avatar, and a lot of the Disney princesses go barefoot a lot of the time. So it's not that uncommon for people who are dressing up as characters to dress up as Barefoot characters. If you go to TV Tropes, TV Tropes, there's one called Always Barefoot, and it's got a list of characters that are always barefoot. I'm actually listed there in the real-life examples, which is kind of cool, I think. I mean, other people
yeah.
think it's lame and nerdy, but I think it's cool. I'm listed as a real-life example of a TV trope. That's pretty cool.
That might help me, because for Halloween coming up, I'm always looking for a new barefoot costume, you know, kind of run mechanic on, you know.
I've got a list I've made of barefoot characters for future cosplays. I'm kind of a nerd. I go to conventions a lot. This is my second one in 14 months. Yeah, so I've got a list of barefoot characters. I can get to pull up here. Okay. So, here's the list. Lilo from Lilo and Stitch. Ariel from Little Mermaid. Briar Rose goes barefoot before she realizes she's a princess. Ralph from Wreck-It Ralph. Aladdin. Everybody in the Croods. Joy from Inside Out. Luna Lovegood loses her shoes and goes barefoot for a lot of the fifth movie of Harry Potter. Jack Frost from Rise of the Guardians, Pocahontas, Mama Odie from Princess and the Frog, Esmeralda from Hunchback of Notre Dame, The Hulk, Tia Dalma from Pirates of the Caribbean, everybody in Quirky Town in Big Fish, The Flintstones for Potts in Iron Man, Judy Holliday in It Could Happen to You, Elphaba in the book Wicked is a barefooter, Bella Swan and Victoria from the Twilight series go barefoot frequently. Waldo goes barefoot occasionally. Lucy from Narnia is frequently barefoot. Hobbits, of course. Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn. Mr. Jenkins from Bailey School Kids, which was a book series I loved as a kid, and he's a werewolf camp counselor. The Childlike Empress from Neverending Story. River Tam from Firefly and Serenity. Joe Hart, also known as Teen Jesus from Glee. Paul McCartney on the Abbey Road cover. The Fairies from Midsummer Night's Dream. Gadget from Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, Chi from Chobbits, Snow Queen from Once Upon a Time. I mean, there's so many. I could keep going,
yeah.
But I think that's it gets the point across. There's so many.
Yeah, the last year I did the Gator Boys. If you've seen the show where they're barefoot
and
they're catching gators, I had a dog costume, you know, that of a gator. And it looked like it was biting the center section of me. I had it sewn onto a shirt. I took one of my rescue shirts and made it Gator Rescue. And I was
that's
in
awesome.
Shorts and bare feet. And that's how they are always.
Yeah.
And another one I did was the Grim Reaper. I painted, skeleton feet. And I was barefoot. But instead of the Grim Reaper, I was carrying a broom. And on it, it said the Grime Sweeper. So I did a
awesome.
Play on that, the Grime Sweeper.
Yeah.
So
the other two
one.
Characters. Sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I said I've done plenty of them. Of course, the Flintstones and all that kind of thing.
The other characters I'm cosplaying as at Comic-Con are not barefoot characters. So I made barefoot sandals for them. I'm also going as Nymphadora Tonks from Harry Potter and Effie Trinket from Hunger Games. And Effie is kind of out there and crazy. So I just made, barefoot sandals out of tulle and silk flowers and woven hemp. And they look pretty cool.
Cool.
I think that'll look good. Those ones aren't for the cosplay contest, though. So they're not quite the same.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Hope you enjoy that.
Me too. Well, my best friend is flying in to Salt Lake from Jacksonville, and I haven't seen her since our last convention that we went to last year in Orlando. So it'll be fun, even if the convention totally sucks, because I'll be there with my best friend, and we're doing coordinating costumes. So.
Does your best friend go barefoot with you?
Not very often. She's done it twice. One of those times was at the beach.
Okay, just thought I'd...
No, she is quite fond of her shoes. So she's doing all Shod characters.
Yeah. Oh well.
Yeah.
There's still a lot to
one work. Of these times I'll get her to do like Pocahontas or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even then, she'd probably get some, like, toms and paint feet on them.
Yeah, I've seen people do things like that, too. They're like, really?
Yeah.
Or I've seen where they take.
But in the Salt Lake Comic-Con forum, there are people all the time asking, how can I look barefoot without actually being barefoot? And, like, there's these invisible shoes you can buy where it's, like, just on the bottom, and then it's got a clear top. Like, what is the freaking point?
I know, I've seen things like that. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Don't get it. That's, you know, that's
the
fun of it.
Yeah.
So do you fly down there or drive down?
I drove down.
Okay. The one that you're coming up on, you're going to drive down to?
I'm already actually in Utah.
Oh, duh. Okay, drove as
yeah, I drove down on Tuesday.
Oh.
Yeah, well, the preliminary judgings for the cosplay contest are before the convention, so I need to be here for those.
Yeah. Now, I was just going to ask if you've done much flying barefoot and what kind of challenges you might have had.
Oh, well, I have flown barefoot a few times. The first time I flew barefoot, I didn't have any sort of, like, barefoot sandals or anything. I just went totally barefoot, and I got a pair of flip-flops with me. And I was flying out to Vancouver Island for my sister-in-law's wedding. And from Edmonton to Vancouver was fine, but in Vancouver to Nanaimo was okay, and then in the Nanaimo airport going back to Vancouver, a flight attendant stopped me and said I wasn't allowed to go out on the tarmac barefoot. So I had to put flip-flops on to board the plane, took them off, deboarded or deplaned or whatever, and then flew back to Edmonton just fine. And then, I actually don't think I've ever had any, one time going through customs, they told me I had to wear shoes, but I didn't actually bring any shoes with me other than barefoot sandals that trip. So I put on the barefoot sandals and I got through customs just fine.
Cool.
Yeah.
I haven't done much flying, to be honest, but I went from Charlotte to Jacksonville. I had my flip top thing. Not a problem in the world. But that was about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't had a whole lot of encounters. Last night I even got really brave and went into a store that had a shoes and shirts required to be worn in the store.
Mm.
So I went barefoot in there and I was like, screw you guys. They're not. And then an alarm went off as soon as I walked in the store and I was like, oh crap, do I have a barefoot customer alarm? Literally it was like a security alarm for somebody's something. I don't know. But yeah, then like anytime it's I opened like a freezer door to take something out and the alarm would go off. How do they know?
Yeah.
But it was just a coincidence, because then after, like, the fourth time of doing something, it didn't happen. So either they got used to it or they don't care. So it wasn't really a barefoot alarm. Sure seemed like it, though, you know, going off every time I take something off the shelf.
Yeah, that's too funny. Yeah, that would be the extreme they'd get to, huh? But
yeah,
I've been going to a few more places than even normal, and not that I've had problems anywhere, but you know, there's certain places you just think you might, but I haven't had any problems. Went into Chili's a couple times, and I sat at the bar area because they were filled, so you know, we're up on these high tabletops, so I was out in full view as much as possible. Not a problem.
Yeah, I did put on shoes yesterday. I was going into a rock store, like where they sell fancy rocks. I don't really know how to describe it. It's called a rock chip. But I needed to buy some stones to make earrings for one of my costumes. And they cut rocks in the back. So there could have been theoretically chips of obsidian on the floor. And I don't want to cut my feet. I like my feet. So I did wear flip-flops into there.
So there are definitely times.
Yeah.
When I work, sometimes I'm cutting metal and doing different things, and I can handle just about anything, but little metal slivers, no. So I do it. Yeah, do it.
Even
I do that
anywhere on your body, but feet especially, because
yeah.
You're putting pressure on them.
But most times I really don't wear shoes, even out in the shop, and don't have any problems. I'm doing something where I know it's probably a smart idea. You know, like welding, maybe. So,
yeah.
Then I'll put them on. But I have done it without them, but I will put them on typically.
Yeah. Well, there have been some things that I've done barefoot that later regretted. But, you know, you learn from experience.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, should we share our tweets that we found from the barefoot community?
Sure.
Do you want me to do that, or would you like to read them?
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you wanted me to do that or not, because they were your tweets. Let me see. I have this up on your tweet. I saw your first one said, celebs who go barefoot. Is that correct? And then followed by, that's a myth, it's not legal to drive barefoot.
Yeah, there's six, I think. Basically good, honestly, you find a tweet from me.
What's that?
Just go down the list until you find a tweet from me.
Well, these are from, this is on your account.
Yeah, this is on my personal Twitter. I find, if you want your tweet right on the air, you can tweet me directly, at Sierra Barefoot, or just use the hashtag Barefoot. I will find it. If I like it, I will retweet it, and we will read it on the air. So you can read all of my awesome retweets, because I do it throughout the week. But today I just kind of like went in 10 minutes before the show and retweeted a bunch. But if you want to follow me, twitter.com/SierraBarefoot, you can read them, or you can follow me at Sierra Barefoot. I'm not sure how much longer I'll be doing the show, but yeah, you're welcome to follow me if you want, or tweet me, or whatever, and I can pass them on to John after I leave. So yeah, take it away, John.
All right, so the first one you have up here is celebs who go barefoot, and then there's a link here. Let's see what the link says.
It's basically just a gallery of stars who have gone barefoot in public.
Yeah, I think we're seeing more and more of that, which is a good thing.
Well, and then the most recent one, we talked about this a few weeks ago, was Kristen Stewart. She was on the red carpet wearing these insanely high heel shoes and didn't even make it inside wearing them because they were so painful. So she took them off. Helen Mirren was riding in the back of a limo with her bare feet hanging out the window. Yeah, there's all kinds of Britney Spears, but she's kind of, I don't know if we want to champion her as our cause of barefooting.
Yeah.
She's got some craziness associated with her. But yeah, there's tons of celebrities in this gallery.
Yeah, there are quite a few. And then who am I trying to think of that does that Barefoot Nation and has quite a few things that are tied to that, country singer. It'll come to me.
Yeah, most of them it looks like they're holding heels in one of their hands as they walk, because heels suck. But yeah, there is one of Honey Boo Boo in a Georgia gas station.
Oof. Another one I don't know if we want to ever as a representative of.
I don't know. I love Honey Boo Boo. I think she's adorable.
I honestly don't watch it that much. I've only seen, like, commercials or something.
Well, I don't watch it anymore, but, yeah. If we can get anyone, I would want to get Shailene Woodley. She walked out of her hotel barefoot, waited until she walked onto the red carpet to put her heels on, because heels suck. We've talked about what they do to your feet so many times. They're so bad for you. Anyways, yes, if you want to check out that gallery, it's nydailynews.com/entertainment, and they've got a Stars Barefoot Gallery in there that you can check out and see all of these stars running barefoot. There are some male stars, too. Russell Brand goes around barefoot a lot. We tried to get him on the show, but he wasn't really willing to. And apparently Kesha goes barefoot, and she's not holding any shoes, and no one around her is holding shoes. Anyways, we've got a couple more tweets.
All right. We have from, you retweeted from Barefoot Ken. Okay, said, that's a myth. It's not illegal to drive barefoot in any state as well as Canada. And we've talked about that many times. And she's saying, gave up, same person, gave up shoes 17 years ago, barefoot everywhere I go. Good for her. Katie Bowman, you retweeted, walked away from my desk this morning and spent a few hours hiking and being barefoot in the wilderness. I guess there's some more that goes with that.
Yeah, it's got a link to her Facebook page where she said, I would love to have gorgeous nature pic to share with you, but it turns out I spent most of the time making this face where she looks like she's about to sneeze.
Yeah, I saw that. Pretty funny. All right. Next one is, let's see, Lynn Albert. My autobiography is now available on Kindle for only $2.99, and that looks like the European symbol for $2.99. Thanks for the great reviews, Amazon.com. It says barefoot. Sorry, I'm so slow at this, but I'll get there. Barefoot and Before, what she has on there. Her book's out there. Shows her barefoot with her dog.
It's her memoir about running barefoot across what country? She ran barefoot across some country in Europe.
Yeah, I'm trying to
I don't even know what country. But yeah, it's her memoir about running barefoot at the age of 47.
Cool.
I'm trying to find out what country it was that she ran barefoot across, but it doesn't say, actually. It just says run across a country barefoot. And
I think that's the last one.
Country. So, I mean, it might have been, like, Vatican City. I could totally run across the Vatican City barefoot. It's only, like, 100 acres.
Too funny.
I could totally run across that country. No problem. There, that's what we should do. We should have a barefoot convention at Vatican City and go run across the country. Then I could be cool, yeah, like Alex Ramsey and Jake Brown, and run barefoot across the country.
That's too funny. Oh,
I'm terrible. But no, they actually, Alex Ramsey and Jake Brown have both run across the United States. Jake Brown doing it entirely barefoot, and Alex Ramsey doing 1,000 miles of it barefoot, which pretty freaking remarkable. Just the running across the United States. That's like more than 3,000 miles.
Just talking about, you know, there are certain places we definitely wear shoes, and I can't just imagine going all the way across country.
I can't. I feel like my feet would just be so worn down by the end of that.
Yeah.
A lot of it's
asphalt.
The
obstacles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jake's route was farther north, so the pavements weren't as hot. And he didn't have the goat head thorns that Alex encountered in Arizona and New Mexico. Because Jake left from, like, Central California area and is going to New York, I think. And then Alex ran from, like, Central East Coast to Arizona. So, I mean, their terrain was a little bit different. But they did run into each other one time in, like, Missouri, I want to say.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they were just doing it to do it. They weren't doing it for any weird cause, which we've talked about, the gimmicky, I'm walking barefoot across Europe to raise money for orphans in Kenya or whatever cause. I mean, yes, there's also the Barefoot Benefit 5K coming up in Knoxville. It's in October.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's,
I think it would be-
that one... I like that one because it raises money for seniors who don't have enough money and get some food.
Sorry, that's a lot of good charities, but some of them, you're right.
It says this year's will be October 26th.
I think we should have
So if you're in Knoxville.
Made up.
Well, there is a Church of the Barefoot Way. CBFW.org, Church of the Barefoot Way. And apparently they have not renewed that domain because I just checked on it. But yeah, there was a Church of the Barefoot Way.org apparently once upon a time, but now it's gone.
That's too
bad.
Yeah. Now, I think it would be funny for us to go ahead and make up some shirts that say, just say, go barefoot for the cause and leave it at that.
For the cause of going barefoot?
Says go barefoot for the cause and leave it at that, and then just go everywhere barefoot with.
Yeah, that would be funny.
All right.
So those are all the tweets I found. Again, if you want to be on the air, you can tweet me directly, or you can tweet John at FlipTopBarefoot, and he can help you out too, get you on the air. Even though you only have two tweets, it's okay. You do go on Twitter from time to time because you do all those market studies. Still there? I'm getting dead air.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was talking into mute.
No.
I was just saying,
I hate when
some
I do
of
that.
The research I've done recently, there's quite a few tweets, and I find them that I know a lot of people are going barefoot in college, but it seems like it's ramping up. Instead of seeing one or two, there's people that are like describing half the class. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool. It seems like it's gaining momentum. And of course, most people seem to be not understanding. There's always this, they don't understand all that. So, but it seems like it's catching a little more.
Yeah,
good.
And that really does make me happy. I think there may come a time when this radio show is no longer necessary as pushing back against the social, trying to quash us, make us wear shoes, but maybe more of just chatting about the benefits of going barefoot rather than having to reiterate over and over again that it is legal to go barefoot while driving. It is legal to go barefoot in grocery stores, in restaurants, in hotels, in bars, in clubs, in hospitals, like you name it. You can go there barefoot if you want to. No one's saying you have to. You know, it's legal to go barefoot into rock shops, but I didn't feel like cutting my feet on obsidian. I know there are some people out there who hike obsidian mountains and do it barefoot. And, you know, if you want to do that, that's your call. I think it's kind of dumb. But if you want to do it and you feel confident doing it, go for it. You know, there are no laws stopping you. It's just a lot of the times your own fears.
Yeah. That's very true.
But we do need to take an ad break.
All right.
I'll
go ahead and put us on an ad break, and we will talk to you all in a few minutes.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll talk about a native tribe who was able to withstand incredibly hot temperatures barefoot, the Seri tribe. So stay tuned.
Play on, play on. Play that. Yo, drink, drop, reverse.
I like the way you grow with no pesticides. I got to box it up.
Yeah.
I like the way you grow with so locally. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow with no GMOs. I like the way you twerk it.
No diggity,
no doubt.
We've got squash and peas, pollinator packs for all your bees, melons you wanna squeeze, yes please, yes please.
Hey now that plant looks good,
I wanna grow it, I wanna taste it.
You're my kind of girl,
hey yo,
plant fair 2014.
Search YouTube for Freaks of the Garden. PeacefulBelly.com. Support your local organic farmer.
Video with others. An important message from our new generation.
Welcome back. We're back. Sierra, are you back with us?
Yeah.
I'm sure she'll be joining. All right. Welcome back. So,
yay, good to be back. So as promised, we're going to talk to you about the Seri Native Tribe of the Gulf of California, lived entirely barefoot and could go crazy high temperatures in bare feet up to 180 degrees Fahrenheit. And because I'm Canadian and have no clue what that means, I looked it up in Celsius. That's 82 Celsius. That is like melt your skin off hot. Crazy, crazy hot. I mean, like, I know 180 Fahrenheit is hot, but it's like an abstract figure in my mind. Probably like how 20 Celsius is kind of an abstract figure in John's mind. So 82 Celsius to me is, that's almost as hot as my oven gets. That's crazy. So how hot can you stand when you go barefoot? This is from akua.wordpress.com. It's a barefooter's blog, and We've done this quite a bit from this website, but this is a new one. If our feet develop the Seri boot, we might be able to. Tribe built up such strong calluses that people who discovered this tribe nicknamed their feet the Seri boot. They're the Seri Indians, and they lived barefoot in a desert environment. From an article on Nature and Origins of the Seri Boot, Ronald L. Ives says, Just before the turn of the century, W.J. McGee and Party made a pioneer study of the primitive Seri Indians who inhabit Tiburon Island and the adjacent Sonoran shore of the Gulf of California. In his physical description of the Seri of that time, he comments upon the integument, which I don't know what that means, covering feet, ankles, and lower legs, is incredibly firm and hard, more resembling that of a horse or camel than the ordinary human type. At the time of McGee's visit, the Seri wore few clothes and no shoes. The integument covering feet, ankles, and lower legs is incredibly firm and hard, resembling more that of a horse or a camel than the ordinary human type. That blows my mind. They basically were able to develop horse hooves. He goes on to say, it's astounding protective efficiency being attested by the readiness with which Seri run through cactus thickets so thorny as to stop horses and dogs, or over conglomerated spa beds so sharp that even the light coyote leaves their trail. They built up so much callus they could run with impunity through cactus. And there's a picture there, and his toes and feet, they look different. I mean, not like weird or alien, but just thicker. And continuing with that article, the same pedal armor was noted by Mexican riders and has become generally known as the Seri boot. A small sample procured in 1936 was studied microscopically and found to be normal callus tissue. A pathologist seeing the sample reported the possessor undoubtedly suffered from extreme hyperkeratosis, meaning their skin got too thick and too hard and too calloused, which would be a medical condition that they would call it. But it was really just how their body adapted to their conditions. Further checking showed that Seri, who lived on the outskirts of Hermosilla and who customarily wore clothes and shoes of the sort, did not have the boot. Further investigation after World War II, at which time the Seri had worn clothes and shoes for more than a decade, showed almost complete absence of the boot, but very heavy callus growth on exposed pedal surfaces. Additional observations, largely during World War II and shortly thereafter, disclosed that barefoot and unclothed people in most of the world's sandy desert regions have a similar callus boot, while their near relatives, who live in less arid or sandy regions, or who habitually wear clothes, do not have it. In Abyssinia, for example, the integument extends almost to the knees in some of the barefoot natives, but stops at the ankle with foot soldiers of the same tribal origin who wear putties but not shoes. So people, putties are basically like leg coverings that go from your knee to your ankle. It makes sense that their boot would stop at the ankle because they're protected. The article goes on to say, some further useful clues were provided during a tour of duty in a desert station. There was noted that steel workers, riggers, and meteorological observers who worked on steel towers in the hot sun developed phenomenally heavy calluses on their hands. Glass blowers develop a similar protective coating, known as glass blower's fingers, from repeated contact with hot glass. And some electronic assemblers, who clean soldering irons with the fingertip, develop a similar localized hoof. After development, the callus continues to grow for several months after the causative irritation is withdrawn. 3 to 5 months seems to be average for young white Americans. And actually, if you meet a lot of chefs, they have what they call chef hands, where when a knife kind of grazes them, they don't get burned. I worked in a restaurant for 2.5 years straight, and by the end of that, I could briefly touch the flat top grill without burning myself. So your body does adapt, but it's like this extreme adaptation seems to only be shown in certain environments. Yeah, and the callus continues to grow for 3 to 5 months after the stimulus is gone. The article continues, apparently this type of keratosis will develop with any normal human on any area repeatedly exposed to dry heat at temperatures exceeding about 130 degrees Fahrenheit. While these are surely individual variations in the exact temperature and duration necessary for callus development, the above figure seems to be good working approximation. Soil surface and sand temperatures in areas where the Seri boot and similar pedal hyperkeratosis, those thick calluses on the feet, have been observed, run from 30 degrees Fahrenheit to 70 degrees Fahrenheit above shade temperatures. So in the shade, it's 70 degrees, and outside it's 100 degrees, then you would start to get this callus. Sand temperatures of 180 degrees Fahrenheit have been measured repeatedly in the Salt Lake and Sonoran deserts when air temperatures measured up in the shade at nose level have been taken between 100 Fahrenheit and 120 Fahrenheit. From the foregoing, it appears that the Sari boot is a normal product of exposure to sand at high temperatures and is neither a pathological condition, sometimes attributed to eating various sorts of offal, nor a Mendelian trait unique among the Sari. The Sari are also tremendous long-distance travelers, walking and running, and are considered faster than their somewhat near neighbors, the Tarahumara of Born to Run fame. That is what is said in the 1895-96 report of the Bureau of American Ethnology. The Sari range over a region of runners. The Opata themselves are no mere racers, since, according to Velasco and Bartlett, in 24 hours they have been known to run from 40 to 50 leagues, which is up to 130 miles. And according to Loomholes, their colinguals, the Tarahumari, or counting runners, are named from their custom of racing, display almost incredible endurance. The Sari are known as the runners par excellence of the Sonoran province, and it is but natural that their astounding swiftness and lightness of foot should have brought them an appellation among contemporaries to hold these qualities peculiar. I don't even know what that's saying. But anyway, they're even faster than the Tarahumara that we talk about all the time. And it says that their name, Sari, means movers. And they did this barefooted, 100% barefooted. The Tarahumara have sandals, but the Sari runners did it totally barefoot all the time. They also demonstrated persistence hunting, where they would run prey to death and then just grab them, which is blows my mind.
Yeah.
All of this was done barefoot with the adaptations that our bodies naturally make when exposed to such conditions. So you probably can handle barefooted much hotter temperatures than you ever imagined. But you need to make sure you're not doing too much too soon. You have to work up to it. Your body will adjust, which I think is absolutely amazing.
It truly is. Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on that you wanted to add, John?
I definitely agree with it. I notice even myself being in Florida, not that I'm anywhere near that type of development. I've noticed there's places I can definitely go that I couldn't before, just from repeatedly not having shoes on. And also it seems to me that things feel more, I don't know how to explain, more comfortable, almost like you're walking on carpet sometimes.
Right, exactly. And I think it's interesting that they mentioned that the environment has a lot to do with it, because you know, you get a lot of people talking about their cracking heels, their cracking feet. Until I came back to Utah, my feet were totally fine up in Canada. I mean, it's not as hot and it's not as dry. I mean, it's still pretty dry in Alberta, but I'm in Utah and it's a desert. And it's hotter than it is in Canada. I mean, it's fall now-ish soon. Is it technically fall yet? I don't know. It feels like fall, even though it's 90 degrees Fahrenheit outside, which is, I don't know what in Celsius, hot. But my feet are cracking already. I've only been here for 4 or 5 days, and my feet are already cracking. Like, your body kind of has to adapt to what it's going through, though. And I kind of took one of those pumice stones and rubbed down the area around the cracks. And it's actually thicker and more supple underneath. So I think the cracks might be my body's way of telling me that there's something better trying to get through. And I use, it's called Dr. Teal's foot scrub. It's Epsom salt and peppermint and lavender oil in like a soapy base thing. I don't really know what the soap base is, but it actually will scrub feet and take impurities out. Epsom salt is known for being able to take out impurities. So if you have something stuck in your foot, you can go soak in an Epsom salt bath and it'll come right out. There's all kinds of things that Epsom salt does. It can also, like, you can put it as a fertilizer in your garden or something, and it helps things grow better. But, yeah, it does a lot of things. And it's also kind of an exfoliator. So it helps to buff away the dead calluses. Because I feel like I have a layer of dead callus on top of my living callus. That, you know, the supple, healthy callus, and it's, you know, not, I can still feel through it, if that makes any sense. Whereas, you know, you see some people who develop these, like, thick, hard, immovable calluses. That's what I call a dead callus. And while there's nothing wrong with a dead callus, if you enjoy having that, if your feet are cracking, that's when it's time to kind of buff the dead callus off. My thoughts, anyways. I mean, I've never seen any, like, medical documentation of dead callus versus live callus. But that's just my experiences, and that's what I call it. And it sounds like the Fairy Boot people had probably a lot of the dead callus. Because you wouldn't want to be feeling 180-degree heat.
Definitely not.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a picture of African soldiers in the article, and they're barefoot, and their feet look thicker. It's like they have a callus on the top of their feet, too, and they're darker than, I mean, like, yeah, they already have dark skin, but you can see at their ankles, it's lighter. And it said that their calluses stop at their ankles because they wear clothes that go to their ankles. And, like, that would make a lot of sense to me. If you're constantly in hot sand, you would need the calluses on the top of your feet as well. Like, I can do dry, cold conditions. That isn't Fahrenheit. Sorry. But, you know, if it's wet and gets on top of my feet, I cannot tolerate it at all. The top of my feet are so soft and squishy and weak and sad. But the bottom of my feet, if it's dry or just ice, I can walk on ice, no problem. And if it's just new snowfall, no problem. I mean, I can, if it's not too cold, I can do the wet. Like, if it's warmer than, like, minus 10 Celsius. So, like, 15 Fahrenheit? I have no idea. Sorry, I have no idea what that conversion is. I can
too
Google
cold
it.
For me.
Yes, too cold. But, yeah, your body adapts to the climate that's in, which is why it always kind of makes me sad that, you know, we're going into the winter months. They're going to be here before you know it, which kind of is for me because it's probably going to be snowing when I get home in October. I've been in Utah in warm, and so my feet are not going to be accustomed to it when I get there, so it's going to suck. But maybe we'll get a late winter or something. Anyways,
hey,
your feet adjust to those temperatures that you expose them to. And
I'm going to have to adapt to 60 and 70 degrees soon.
Oh, no, not 60 and 70 degrees. That's like a warm summer day.
Fahrenheit.
That's a warm summer day for me. A lot of times as it starts to get colder, people start to put their shoes back on. I see it every winter in the Society for Barefoot Living. People are always like, it's too cold for me to wear shoes anymore. It's, you know, I got to put shoes on or I'll get too cold. And if you kind of push yourself a little bit, I mean, you don't want to push yourself to the point of pain. I did that one winter and ended up with frostnip. You don't want to push yourself to the point where it's painful. You can tolerate a lot more than you think you can, which is kind of, it's all in your head. Like, really, it is all in your head. And the more you're willing to push yourself, the stronger you'll become. Like, in the gym, you can lift a lot more weights than you probably think you can. Physiologically, you should be able to do leg presses, double your body weight. Because when you're going upstairs, each leg is pushing your entire body weight upwards. So, I mean, in theory, most people should be able to leg press at least 250 pounds. I mean, that's for the really scrawny. I mean, there should be people that can leg press over 500 pounds just because they can walk upstairs. And it's all in your head. You know, you see that number, 500 pounds. I can't do that. I mean, I remember back when I was in high school and using a leg press machine for sports workouts, I would be like, 90 pounds, yeah, I can do that. Woo, 90 pounds, that's a big number. And, you know, for a 5'6", 130-pound girl, I thought that was a big deal. But no, I could have been doing 260 pounds. And then when the coach came in was like, you need to be leg pressing more than that. You can do at least double that. It's like, no, I can't. But because in my head, I thought I couldn't. And I think a lot of people psych themselves out about heat and cold in the same way. I mean, yes, if it's uncomfortable, I won't say uncomfortable, if it's painful, you definitely need to remove yourself from that situation, because pain is your body's way of telling you that you're in danger. You know, when you cut yourself, it hurts because your body's telling you, I'm in danger. Cut through my protective barrier that keeps germs out. Or if it's something very hot, this could damage your tissue. If it's very cold, this could literally freeze your feet off if it gets too cold. And you do need to pay attention to your body signals. But feeling cold or feeling hot, it might be uncomfortable, but if it's not, like, actually hurting you, like, yeah, there will be points when it's so hot, your feet will be in pain. But hot pavement and dangerously hot pavement are completely different for everybody. So you just need to listen to your body. Like the Saris, they could go barefoot in 180 degrees sand, but I can't do that, not safely anyways. Any thoughts you want to add to that, John?
No, I definitely agree. Even though I was joking earlier about the cold, I mean, you've been down here, you know that we do get some cold mornings, and maybe not in comparison to what you get, but for people down here, you're freezing. And
yeah,
ever since I've started going year-round barefoot, I noticed that I'm not cold anymore. Maybe it's just the increase in circulation. I think it has a lot to do with how your body measures temperature, and if your feet are too fine inside of a shoe and it's showing 105 degrees, I think it messes up your body's thermostat, telling you what it should be. But I just really got to the point where it was almost like I didn't even realize it at first. I looked around, people were shivering in coats, and I'm just like, what's wrong with all these people, you know? So you really do adjust.
You do adjust, and that's the fact that people can adjust to go barefoot in 180 degrees Fahrenheit, 82 Celsius, blows my mind. I mean, I don't even go outside when it's above 35 Celsius because it's too freaking hot. But 180 Fahrenheit, 82 Celsius, like, seriously, could probably melt your skin if you aren't accustomed to it. And the fact that they were able to adapt to it just shows me that the human body is so amazing. I'm not going to tell you to go run barefoot through a 180-degree desert sand. I don't think that is safe. Unless you are accustomed to it, it is not safe. But if you just kind of want to push yourself and build up that tolerance, maybe eventually you can get there.
Yeah, I think also you think about your brain, and it's probably when you start to feel pain saying, based on the farthest you have ever pushed me, this is where the pain, you know, this is the end.
Yeah.
So it doesn't know where the end truly is, but if you haven't found, you know, your true tolerance level, then it's saying, wait a minute, this is as far as we've ever gone, stop, you know?
Yeah. Well, this is like, you know, running faster, running longer distances. It's all in your head. Your body can do it. I mean, I hiked 19 kilometers carrying a 75-pound backpack once. I didn't think I could do that. But I just kept walking. And then I'd gone 19 kilometers by the time I checked how far I'd gone. And, yes, I was tired and dehydrated at the end of it. But I think that's like 8 miles. I don't know. But, I mean, I did it. And a lot of times, I think a lot of other people around us have that effect on us too. Where it's like, oh, you shouldn't do that. Oh, you can't do that. You'll get hurt. It's dangerous. It's not safe. It's not humanly possible. But there's a show on, I don't even know what channel it was, but it was about people with, like, superhuman comic book strengths. And there is this guy that can climb up nearly vertical walls with just his bare fingers and toes. That's not normally humanly possible. I mean, I think it's called Stan Lee's Superhumans or something, because it's got Stan Lee, the creator of Marvel Comics, that goes and hosts the show and sends out this interviewer to go interview these people all over the world that have these proclaimed talents that are not normal. Like, most people cannot run in a pair of itty-bitty running shorts and nothing else when it's below freezing. But there was this one guy who did, and they call him the Iceman. And another thing that I just love that kind of inspires me is in Felicia Day's memoir that just came out, You're Never Weird on the Internet Almost, is what it's called. It's available on Audible if you want to get an Audible version of it. She's reading it out loud, and it's amazing. And she says, you need to find what's different about you. Find what makes you weird, because that's your superpower. And so, yes, going barefoot everywhere in minus 25 Celsius weather is my superpower. And the Sari Boot people, their superpower is going in 180-degree desert sand. And maybe your superpower is going outside in crazy hot Florida weather or whatever. We kind of adapt to our situation, and that makes us who we are. And, you know, at the kind of cliche, everybody has a superpower. But it's true. There's something, like, unique that you can push yourself to do that nobody else does, or at least not very many people. And it's kind of cool. On that note, though, we do need to take another ad break. When we come back, we have an article, another blog post, really, from Daniel Howell, barefoot professor, author of the Barefoot Book. More evidence that going barefoot is best for your feet. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with that.
Are you confused about what to do to get started on your path to preparedness? My book, Making the Best of Basics, Family Preparedness Handbook, is the number one all-time best-selling book ever on helping people become prepared or getting better prepared. Get a copy of my book. You can get it through Freedomizer Radio by going to makingthebestofbasics.com. Pick out what you'd like to buy. There are a number of alternatives. All Freedomizer Radio listeners can get it for one-half price, special offer. When you're ready to check out, go down to the discount code, type in present, because it's a present I'm making to you, and it'll automatically discount the price by 50%. Such a deal. And you can learn more by listening to Dr. Prepper CPR, Critical Preparedness Radio talk show, at Freedomizer Radio.
Did you see this? The EPA wants to regulate water in our ditches now. Our ditches are dry most of the time. There's hardly ever any water in them. That's enough.
Government anyway. Government anyway.
Tell the EPA it's time to ditch the rule. Ditchtherule.fb.org. This is a message from the Missouri Farm Bureau. Contact them at 573-893-1558.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Shalom and praises to the Father. More and more, we see the lies and the deceptions of the world, where it should be obvious we are in a spiritual battle. So I'd like to invite you to tune into the Sound Doctrine Ministries Fellowship Program right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network, where we will reason together according to the Holy Scriptures. Also, blessing you with an occasional guest, our spiritual common sense commentary, and spiritual uplifting songs that give praises to our Father. You can call in and speak to our host, or just listen to the show at 347-324-3704 every Tuesday and Saturday, noon Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Central, right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. Or you can tune into our chat room at freedomizerradio.com. Blessings and peace to your heart.
Welcome back to Barefoot is Legal Radio. We're going to jump right in and talk about an article posted on barefootprof.blogspot.com, Daniel Howell's personal blog. He wrote the Barefoot book. He's a professor that goes barefoot, hence the name Barefoot Prof. But this is the title of his article, From Opinion to Observation, More Evidence That Going Barefoot is Best for Your Feet. He says, there's a growing body of anecdotal evidence that walking and running barefoot can actually reverse some of the damage done to your feet by footwear. Specifically, several podiatrists and scientists have reported a rise in arch height due to walking and or running barefoot or in minimalist shoes. In this post, I review the observations that have been made by others and add my own data to the mix. Back in 2011, Dr. Nierenberg reported on his blog, AmericanPodiatrist.com, that he was seeing foot arches rise in a patient as a result of barefoot running. The 41-year-old male had worn conventional shoes prior to making the switch to a running barefoot. He also ditched his shoes for most daily activities and adopted a largely barefoot style. Dr. Nierenberg captured a stunning set of footprints that document the changes to his feet. The first footprint basically looks like a shoe with toes. The second footprint is starting to look more like an actual human foot, and the toes are spread more. And in the third footprint that was taken after more time of the man going barefoot, you can see it looks more like a barefooter's footprint, where you just see all five toes kind of splayed. The wider parts of the foot are the ball of the foot and the heel of the foot, and a very narrow strip connecting the heel and the ball of the foot, which barefooters probably recognize as what their own footprints look like. More recently, Dr. Nick Campitelli reported a similar finding on his blog. His two-year study just demonstrates dramatic changes in the arch, chite, and ankle-foot alignment of a 34-year-old woman after she switched to minimalist shoes for running. Going minimalist not only raised her arches and aligned her feet and ankle bones, but it alleviated her knee pain. So the first picture taken in 2012, her ankles are kind of going at an inward angle from her feet instead of being directly up like they were after 2 years of going barefoot. Dr. Howell says, in my own study, I've been observing a 48-year-old male transition from typical shoes use to barefoot living, both for running and walking during his daily routine. At work, this individual switched to using minimalist shoes. Although he stated he had flat feet all his life, his feet began to change after adopting a barefoot lifestyle. Below are the footprints I acquired from this individual over a 4.5-year period, beginning with his adoption of a barefoot lifestyle in 2009. And it basically is the same idea. The toes become more spread. I call it the blade of the foot, you know, the part that connects between the ball of your foot and the heel, that part that's so narrow on a barefooter's footprint, but is so wide on someone who typically wears shoes a lot. That part got narrower and narrower. The ball of the foot and the heel of the foot became the widest points. There are several published methods to quantify arch heights, but several years ago I devised my own method called the Transverse Arch Index, TAI. A TAI value less than 1 indicates a high arch, while a TAI value greater than 1 indicates a low arch. After switching to a barefoot lifestyle, this individual's TAI value decreased a staggering 81% from 5.2, a very low arch, at the start of the study, to 1.0, average arch, 4 years later. Much of the change occurred in the first 2.5 years. In my opinion, I believe Drs. Nuremberg and Campitelli would agree, shoes are casts that immobilize the foot and weaken the musculature and ligaments of the foot. Because those muscles and ligaments support the arch and properly align the 52 bones in the feet and ankles, some have speculated that the overuse of shoes, especially during exercises that involve walking or running, is a major source of many of the ailments that plague our feet. Indeed, footwear is likely responsible for more than flat feet and fallen arches. They have been implicated as major contributor to bunions, hallux valgus, plantar fasciitis, neuropathy, athlete's foot, toenail fungus, ingrown toenails, and hammer toes. Personally, I believe that simply eschewing the shoe and walking barefoot is the single best thing you can do for the health of your feet. Heretofore, that opinion was based mainly on the premise that the human foot is designed well for its functions and that man-made footwear, while useful in some situations, is largely disruptive and impedes those functions. Happily, we are now acquiring a growing body of empirical evidence that validates that opinion, such as the results presented in these 3 case studies. I think it's important to recognize 2 realities. One, we typically wear shoes for cultural reasons, not physical or biomechanical reasons, even when we often think otherwise. And 2, shoes often do more harm than good to our feet. Once you become fully aware of those 2 points, the solution to our foot woes becomes obvious. Remove the shoes and go barefoot much more often. Fortunately, more and more people are connecting the dots and kicking off their shoes in response. Going barefoot in public is becoming more common as people realize the damage that shoes can cause our feet and the healthy benefits of leaving them at home. Going barefoot is quickly being recognized as just another individual lifestyle choice in our increasingly diverse society. So do your feet a favor, take off your shoes and walk. Not only does it feel good, it's good for you. And there's science to back that up. In addition to these studies, I'm aware through personal communication of other studies by top-notch scientists which made the same general conclusions, but they have not at this time publicly announced their findings. So I think that is, you know, pointing out even more studies showing that going barefoot is good for you, is healthy for you, helps your feet, and shoes kind of screw you up. What's your response to that article, John?
Of course, I agree 100%. And it's kind of like what we were talking about before, that the more and more of these articles get out there, they mention more people are going barefoot. I personally haven't seen it. Like I mentioned earlier, I read some tweets about it, but it hasn't hit my neck of the woods yet, really. But let's hope so. you know, that would be it would be great to know. I look at the Society for Barefoot Living. The amount of new members is growing like crazy. So hopefully
exactly.
we're moving in the right direction.
I mean, you do get kind of, there's the occasional people who are kind of confused and join the group by accident. But I think most of it is just an increased awareness in the fact that going barefoot is super good for you.
Yeah, I agree. And I've even seen people that would respond, you know, somebody would say something about it, and then they would respond, say, actually, it's more healthy. And this wasn't in the society, just in different tweaks that I was researching. So you're seeing more and more people quoting things that we've, you know, known all along, as far as our thing and the health benefits, and even the part with the arches I've heard a few times, the driving, definitely, about it being, not only is it legal, it's safer, and we've seen, you know, even insurance companies have pointed that out. So we're definitely on the right track. I mean, it's just logical, you know. I don't think you couldn't get anybody in to take, if you designed something that was made just like a shoe is, that would go on your hand or your elbow or, you know, another, your knees, and told people they needed to wear it, they'd look at you like you're crazy, you know, and you would be. it's a cast, as was mentioned in the article, and that's not a healthy thing to have on you.
I mean, it's a tool, like how you get a cast for your arm if you break your arm. You know, that definitely has an appropriate time and place to use that. But there are also times and places where that's going to be causing more damage than the benefits that you're getting from it. You know, you don't go around wearing a cast all the time because you might break your arm. That just makes no sense. So why are we walking around all the time wearing these shoes? Because we might hurt our feet. In situations where it's highly unlikely, you know, and yes, there are like ankle braces and knee braces and all sorts of braces that you can wear for sports activities if you are more prone to injury to protect those. And that's situationally, you wear those in those situations only, unless you're like recovering from an injury already. And that's for the support of those joints so that they don't become injured. Just like the shoes are supports for your feet so they don't become injured in those certain situations where they could. And I think a big part of why people wear shoes is it's cultural. Australia and New Zealand, not so cultural. You see tons of barefoot people there. But in North America, it's a cultural thing. We have come from a culture where poor people couldn't afford shoes, and so they only wore them to school and to church, and sometimes not even there if they didn't have them, back in, you know, the 1800s, early 1900s. And a lot of the no shirt, no shoes, no service rules came from businesses wanting to turn away certain types of people. You know, it started with racism, because typically freed black slaves were poor and could not buy shoes because they were too poor to afford them. They were, you know, more concerned with, because you need that a lot more than you need shoes. You die without food. And so when it became illegal to discriminate against someone because of their race, you can easily just put up a no shoes, no shirt, no service sign, and there you go. Don't have to serve them. And then the hippies as well. People didn't want hippies or beach bums in their store, so they just put up a no shoes, no shirt, no service sign. And then they wouldn't have to have them in their store. So these are really discriminatory policies that people have somehow culturally accepted and begun to think are normal, when really most of the world is not like that. And you'd think if it was something that would actually affect your health, the majority of the world would acknowledge that. But there's nothing out there saying walking barefoot into a grocery store causes public health concerns. You know, there's nothing saying being barefoot while you're in a hospital is going to get you MRSA. I mean, no more than wearing shoes would. All these like things that people say in grocery stores and restaurants and hotels and train stations, airports, everywhere. It's just they're not even real rules that people kind of made up out of discriminatory ways to oppress people and to deny access to things to people. And somehow people have come to say that this is a law when it's really not. And that's just really frustrating.
Yeah.
And that's why this radio show has to exist, because there are still people out there who think it's illegal. And that's just sad to me. And so that's why we're here. We tell people over and over again. You know, we'll tell them as many times as we have to. But there's a couple days ago, someone in the Society for Barefoot Living says, I just had it out with a manager at King's Restaurant in Wintersville, Ohio, telling me that you have to keep your shoes on at all times while in a restaurant because of health code. I tried to reason with her, but it was like talking to the wall. I told her I can take my business somewhere else and she'll never get my business. That shouldn't even have to worry about it. And it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, yeah, that's,
yeah.
They can kick you out because they can say that you're trespassing. Because, yeah, they do have a right to deny anyone service for causing a ruckus or whatever. But how do your feet present more germs than shoes? You know, how many times does something permanently get stuck on your foot, stuck on your shoes, and pick up all kinds of gross stuff on that? You can never get that off. And, you know, how clean is the bottom of a shoe? How often do people wash their shoes?
How is walking barefoot a concern?
You
know, walking barefoot, self-cleaning. Also, the skin with the you know, just like your fingerprints, the different lines are actually there to deter germs. It's kind of like little walls that block them in. So, you know, you're literally designed to have the right tools to ward off the germs. Where in shoes, it's just going to grab on to anything, especially if it's dirty and nobody washes the thing.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Know?
Well,
but,
someone commented on his post saying, go back wearing shoes, take a spare pair with you and set them on the table. Sigh and apologize to the manager because, yes, this is much more sanitary. And the other worry is if they don't know that bare feet are not a health code violation, that means they obviously haven't read the health code handbook. So what health code violations are they violating because they don't know about them?
Yeah, that's exactly.
If they think things that aren't in there are in there, they obviously haven't read it.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's definitely
cultural. It's concerning. What really makes me sad, though, is people wanting to go places that bare feet are not a hazard at all, like Disneyland. And Disneyland is very strict about shoes. They even have a guide about what kind of shoes are the best to wear at Disney. They recommend wearing comfortable walking shoes that are well worn in before your trip. Because there have been studies done, and people walk around 20 miles a day going to Disney. And approximately the equivalent of hiking up 11 flights of stairs over the course of the day. And that's a lot of walking. And so if you're in, you know, flip-flops, like I was the last time I went there, your feet are not going to have a good time. You're going to be in pain. And it's, you know, so, I mean, I can see them wanting you to be in shoes that support your feet for all this walking that you're doing. But feet naturally support themselves if you let them. And going barefoot isn't a health hazard to anyone. I mean, there are rides in some that require you to take off your shoes and put them in this little container so they don't go flying off and hit someone in the head and kill them. Because that's much more feasible than, say, stepping on glass, getting tetanus, and dying. Which I've had people tell me that. You're going to step on a broken beer bottle and get tetanus and die. But I'm not. I get my tetanus shots. So we're all good.
Yeah. It is crazy. But again, there is so much misinformation, so much that's based on folklore and beliefs and things people have heard, and, you know, people without, you know, being educated on it truly believe these things. And, you know, I think we're just starting to see the counter information that's coming out that's, you know, proving and keeps reinforcing that, hey, this isn't a problem. It isn't illegal. It isn't a health issue. You know, hopefully we will get in the right direction here. We need
right.
to pretty soon, because really, it really should be that bare feet should not be looked at any differently than bare hands in public. You don't even think about other people's hands. You're not going to come back and say how gross and ugly somebody's hands are. I doubt you're sitting there looking at, you know, but people will do that with feet.
Yeah. Well, what also gets me going is company dress codes that, like, just have strange things that they say about shoes. I know someone who works for a company that will not be named for privacy reasons, that in their employee dress code handbook says that sandals, open-toed, and open-back shoes say, don't take me seriously, because your shoes totally matter about taking you seriously. I've seen people in closed-toed, closed-back, non-sandal shoes that are totally untrustworthy that I wouldn't take seriously. And I've seen people in no shoes that I would take a lot more seriously than them. I just don't understand our society's fixation with feet and shoes. Like, everybody's either scared of feet, or, like, sexually in love with feet, or wanting to control what you do with your feet, and I don't get it. They're my feet. Leave them alone.
Exactly. It's, you know, the whole thing about not being taken seriously, you know, it's not being taken seriously by closed-minded people, you know, and fine, you know, I don't really want to. So
those are the kind of people I don't interact with usually anyways, so.
Exactly. So, you know, it's unfortunate that, yes, there is probably some truth to that based on the current culture, not, you know, the culture's problem.
Exactly. Well, and I don't know if you saw this, but somehow somebody that doesn't go barefoot very often managed to get, well, for some reason came into the Society for Barefoot Living, and she's saying, reading the posts on here has made me wonder a few things. Isn't it painful? Lots of rocks, glass, hot pavement, plus stubbing toes seems too painful for me. Also, do you constantly have to watch where you step? Critter poop, spit, gum of all sorts, yuckiness waiting to be stepped on. Just curious. But typically those are things that you avoid if you're wearing shoes anyway, because shoes are such a pain to clean.
Those are
the kind of ignorant questions that we get asked a lot. Sorry, I cut
you
off. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. I was going to say, what surprises me, one of the things, and I'm just being very honest about it, is I found how little I step on things and how little I get injured compared to people that are wearing shoes. You know, they're constantly getting, you know, rubbing against them and problems and everything else. And my feet stay perfectly, you know, very rare. It's extremely rare that they're damaged in any way compared to somebody that's wearing shoes. And I think part of that's I always say it wrong, the prior perception, or there's another part of that. Your brain automatically calculates where you should walk. You don't even realize it's doing it. I'm sure you had, remember that video that was out a while back? I think it was a jaguar chasing prey through, you know, all kinds of obstacles, through the woods and rocks and trees down and everything else. And never took the eyes that we could see, at least, off of the prey, and it showed them not hitting any obstacles. Now, how does that happen? Our brains must move so fast, just like computers, and make those decisions. And it's such, it happens just like breathing. You don't even realize it's happening. Once you do go barefoot a lot, that gets turned back on. And it's pretty much off for people that are not. And yeah, they do hurt themselves when they go barefoot because they haven't adjusted yet. Just my thought.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and I think that's a great analogy with the leopard or cheetah, whatever it was, chasing its prey. It doesn't take its eyes off the prey to look at what it's walking on. I think a lot of that might have to do with the sensory input that it gets. It doesn't wear shoes. It gets sensory input straight from its feet. And you can tell when you're walking in a dangerous area. You're like, yeah, you might step on a pebble and it stabs you and you look down. And you realize, oh, this maybe isn't the best place to be walking, and you adjust your course. And sensory feedback from your feet, you don't need to be looking down. And also, you can kind of like be looking straight ahead and scanning the ground as you walk. You know, I've never stepped on these fabled hypodermic needles that people are always telling me about that I'm going to step on and get AIDS and die. That's always, you're going to get something and then you're going to step on something and get something and die.
I
always say it like that. You're going to step on something, get something and die. You know, you're going to get plantar's warts. And actually, I found out yesterday, I thought I've had a plantar's wart, but actually, I watched a video of a dermatologist removing plantar's warts, and that was definitely not what I had on my foot. So I think I actually just, like, cut my foot and it healed weirdly. Because it didn't look anything like that, the plantar's wart did. So I retract my statement about getting a plantar's wart from going to an icky pool. It was an icky pool, but I didn't actually get a plantar's wart. And those are caused by a virus, and you can get that from lots of different things other than just being barefoot. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We
it's
are
a viral thing.
Getting the hint that our time is up for the day.
Yeah.
And
it's
I wish
gonna
you
kind of beep in our ear.
the best of luck. Hopefully, you know, call in if you can at any time. Just to say hello. If not,
yeah.
I completely understand. You know, get it. But enjoy yourself, definitely. Maybe you'll be able to get some converts out there.
Yeah, well, that's the goal, right? Spread the barefoot
yep.
word.
mm-hmm.
Okay, well,
all
take
right.
care.
Well,
thank you, everyone, for listening. I might not be back. I'm definitely not going to be here for the next 2 weeks, but if they haven't found a replacement for me after that, I will be back. But this could be my last show. So thank you, everyone who has been as a guest, who has called in to talk with us, commented on our posts on Facebook, on Twitter, just listened. I love you all so much. Thank you for making this such a great experience for me. Take care and stay barefoot, everybody.
Thank Bye-bye. You. And again, Sierra, thank you for all you've done as well. And, hopefully we will see you at least coming on periodically for guests.
Hopefully. All right. Take care, everyone.
Okay. Bye.